ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ, ಜಯ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ, ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ, ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ, ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರ ವನಚರಿ, ಯಮುನಾ ತೇರ ವನಚರಿ, ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ ಜಯ ಪ್ರಭು ಪದ, ಜಯ ಗುರುದೇವ ಜಯ ಗುರುದೇವ ಗುರುದೇವ ಜಯ ಗುರುದೇವ, ನಿತಾಯ ಗೌರ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ ಹರಿ ಬೋಲ್ হরিব, নিতাই গৌর প্রেমানন্দে শ্রী হরি নাম সংকীর্তনম কে গ্রন্থরাজ শ্রীমদ ভাগবতম কে শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ কে হরে কৃষ্ণ। ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়, ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়, ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। নারায়ণং নমস্কৃত্য নরং চৈব নরোত্তমম্ দেবীম সরস্বতীম ব্যাসম ততো জয়মুদীরয়েত্। নষ্টপ্রায়েষ্ব ভদ্রেষু নিত্যম ভাগবত সেবয়া ভগবতি উত্তম শ্লোকে ভক্তির্ভবতি নৈষ্ঠিকী। কৃষ্ণায় বাসুদেবায় দেবকী নন্দনায় চ নন্দগোপকুমারায় গোবিন্দায় নমো নমঃ। হরে কৃষ্ণ। রিডিং ফ্রম শ্রীমদ্ ভাগবতম, উই আর রিডিং ফ্রম ক্যান্টো 10। This is chapter 36, the chapter entitled The Slaying of Arishta, the Bull Demon, and we will be completing verses 25 to 30. So what I'll do is, I'll read text 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and then the 30th verse we will recite together. So this is text 25. মহামাত্রত্বয়া ভদ্র রঙ্গদ্বার্যুপনীয়তাম দ্বিপহ কুবলয়া পীড়ো জহিতেন মমাহিতৌ। ট্রান্সলেশন: ইউ এলিফ্যান্ট কিপার, মাই গুড ম্যান, শুড পজিশন দ্য এলিফ্যান্ট কুবলয়া পীড় অ্যাট দ্য এন্ট্রান্স টু দ্য রেসলিং অরিনা অ্যান্ড হ্যাভ হিম কিল মাই টু এনিমিজ। টেক্সট 26: আরভ্যতাম ধনুর্যাগশ্চতুর্দশ্যাম যথা বিধি বিশসন্তু পশুন মেধ্যান ভূতরাজায় মীঢুষে। ট্রান্সলেশন: কমেন্স দ্য বাউ স্যাক্রিফাইস অন দ্য চতুর্দশী ডে ইন অ্যাকর্ডেন্স উইথ দ্য রেলেভেন্ট বেদিক ইনজাংশনস। ইন রিচুয়াল স্লটার অফার দ্য অপ্রোপ্রিয়েট কাইন্ডস অফ অ্যানিমলস টু দ্য ম্যাগনানিমাস লর্ড শিব। টেক্সট 27: ইত্যাজ্ঞাপ্যার্থতন্ত্রজ্ঞ আহূয় যদুপুঙ্গবম গৃহীত্বা পাণিনা পাণিম ততো ক্রূরম উবাচহ। ট্রান্সলেশন: হ্যাভিং দিস কমান্ডেড হিজ মিনিস্টার্স, কমসা নেক্সট কল ফর অক্রূর, দ মোস্ট এমিনেন্ট অফ দ্য ইয়দুজ। কমসা নিউ দ্য আর্ট অফ সিকিউরিং পার্সোনাল অ্যাডভান্টেজ অ্যান্ড দস হি টুক অক্রূরাজ হ্যান্ড ইন হিজ ওন অ্যান্ড স্পোক টু হিম অ্যাজ ফলোজ। টেক্সট 28: ভো ভোধানপতে মহ্যম ক্রিয়তাম মৈত্রমাদৃতঃ নান্যস্ত্বত্তো হিততমো vidyate bhoja vrishnishu। Translation: My dear Akrura, most charitable one, please do me a friendly favor out of respect. Among the bhojas and vrishnis, there is no one else as kind to us as you. Text 29: atastvamashritah saumya karya gaurava sadhanam yathendro vishnumashritya swarthamadhyagamadvibhuh. Translation: Gentle Akrura, you always carry out your duties soberly and therefore I am depending on you, just as powerful Indra took shelter of Lord Vishnu to achieve his goals. And now, text 30. Please recite. Gachananda vrajantatra sutavanaka dundhubhe आसातेता विहानेना रथेनानयमाचिरम् गच्छनन्दव्रजन् तत्र सूतावानकदुन्धुभेः आसातेता विहानेन रथेनानयमाचिरम् गच्छनन्दव्रजन् तत्र सूतावानकदुन्धुभेः आसातेता विहानेन रथेनानयमाचिरम् Mataji's. Word by word meaning. Gachcha. Go. Nanda Vrajam. To the cowherd village of Nanda. Tatra, there, Sutau, the two sons, Anaka Dundubehe, of Vasudeva, Asate, are living, Tau, them, Iha, here, Anena, by this, Rathena, Anaya, bring, Machiram, without delay. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, Sabhachana Aravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Please go to Nanda's village where the two sons of Anaka Dundubhi are living and without delay bring them here on this chariot. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti gives the following interesting note. When King Kamsa said, with this chariot, he pointed with his index finger to a brand new attractive chariot. Kamsa thought that since Akrura was innocent by nature, when he saw this fine new vehicle, he would naturally want to drive it and quickly bring the two boys back. But the actual reason Akrura went on a new chariot was that it would have been clearly inappropriate for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to mount a chariot that had already been enjoyed by the wicked Kamsa. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om adhyanatimirandhasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya mano bhishtam sthapitam yena bhutale svayam rupah kadamahiyam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Namaam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ನಾಮ್ನೇ ಗೌರದ್ವಿಷಯ ನಮಃ. ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾ ಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗತ್ಪತೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾಕಾಂತ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂತ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ. ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗೀ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನೋಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರಿಪ್ರಿಯೇ. ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಸರ್ವಶಾಸ್ತ್ರಾಬ್ಧಿಪಿ ಯೋಷ ಸರ್ವವೇದೈಕ ಸತ್ಫಲ ಸರ್ವಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತರತ್ನಾಢ್ಯ ಸರ್ವಲೋಕೈಕದೃಕ್ಪ್ರದ ಸರ್ವಭಾಗವತ ಪ್ರಾಣ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತ ಪ್ರಭೋ ಕಲಿಧ್ವಾಂತೋದಿತಾದಿತ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪರಿವರ್ತಿತ ಪರಮಾನಂದ ಪಾಠಾಯ ಪ್ರೇಮವರ್ಷ್ಯಕ್ಷರಾಯ ತೇ ಸರ್ವದಾ ಸರ್ವಸೇವ್ಯಾಯ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ಮೇ. ಮದೇಕಬಂಧೋ ಮತ್ಸಂಗಿನ್ ಮದ್ಗುರೋ ಮನ್ಮಹಾಧನ ಮನ್ನಿಸ್ತಾರಕ ಮದ್ಭಾಗ್ಯ ಮದಾನಂದ ನಮೋಸ್ತು ತೇ. ಅಸಾಧು ಸಾಧುತಾ ದಾಯಿನ್ ಅತಿ ನೀಚೋಚ್ಚ ತಾರಕ ಹಾನಮುಂಚ ಕದಾಚಿನ್ ಮಾಂ ಪ್ರೇಮ್ಣಾ ಋತಕಂಠ ಯೋಸ್ಪುರ. ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ಭಾಗವತ್ ಮಹಾಪುರಾಣಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಮೈ ಹಂಬಲ್ ಒಬೆಸನ್ಸಸ್ ಟು ಆಲ್ ದ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್. I consider myself very fortunate and unqualified actually to sit here in Prabhupada's home, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram temple, to speak something on Bhagavatam, but I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas so that I could speak something worthwhile on this subject matter. I also seek the blessings of all Prabhupada disciples or sannyasis who are present in this assembly. Between the speaker and the audience, who is more important in a discourse? Is the audience more important or is the speaker more important? How many of you say audience is more important? How many feel the speaker is more important? How many feel both are important? Right. There is a very beautiful Subhashita in Subhashita Ratna Bhandagar. These are the wise sayings in Sanskrit and Shastras. So it is said there, Kim karishyanti vaktarah yatra shrotana vidyate nagna kshapanake deshe rajakah kim karishyati. Kim karishyanti vaktarah, you know, what will the speakers do yatra shrotana vidyate, when there is no shrota only, there is no audience. If some program is there, and if speaker somehow becomes late or he doesn't turn up, you can make somebody else sit as a speaker and program will go on. Imagine a program in which no audience came. Zero audience and nobody has come. Like that. Quite probably that program may have to be cancelled because there's just no one. So, kim karishyanti vaktarah yatra shrotana vidyate. We need very rasik, qualified audience who are eager to hear Bhagavatam, like all of you. So that is like very ideal to discuss Krishna Katha. And Subhashit gives one drishtanta for this, one example. What we spoke now is known as Siddhanta. But in order to explain this Siddhanta, philosophical principle, there is a drishtanta. In Sanskrit, it's an example. So it says, Nagna kshapanake deshe rajakah kim karishyati. If a land is, kshapanaka in Sanskrit means sadhu, sage. So if the land is full of naga sadhus, what will the washerman do there? Because the land is full of naga sadhus, they don't wear clothes only. So does the washerman has he got anything to do there? The land where people don't wear clothes only, what will the washerman do? Like that says the Subhashita. So, yes, my point is that the sincere audience, very eager to hear Krishna Katha, is actually the most important element in Krishna Katha. And certainly, of course, the aspect of also a speaker who is qualified and who is speaking in parampara, that is also important factor, both the factors, like that. So, Here we are reading from 10th canto, and 10th canto is primarily speaking about, out of the 10 topics of Bhagavatam, which topic is spoken? Ashraya. Ashraya. Bhagavatam has 10 topics. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utaya manvantaresha anukatha nirodho muktirashraya. So these are the 10 topics which are spoken in Bhagavatam. Actually, in any Mahapuran, not only Bhagavatam, any Mahapuran has got 10 topics. So any other Mahapuranas also, they have these topics, like Vishnu Puran or like Skanda Puran. It also has 10 topics. But the speciality of Bhagavatam is that ashraya, that topic of samam bonam, the supreme shelter, Shri Krishna, that is glorified and discussed elaborately, spotlessly, exclusively. That is the speciality of Bhagavatam. So even other Sattvic Puranas like Vishnu Puran or Padma Puran, they also have 10 topics in them. A Mahapuran discusses 10 topics, a Puran discusses 5 topics, and an Upapuran discusses less than 5 topics. That is how the system is. So, just as there are 18 Puranas, Mahapuranas, similarly there are 18 Upapuranas also in Shastra. Like Nrisimha Puran is a Upapuran. So, Bhagavatam's speciality is that even amidst the topics which are like 10 in number, it glorifies Ashraya Tattva like no other Puran. It has an exclusive focus on that Ashraya Tattva. It's a very special thing for Bhagavatam. In fact, Shukadev Goswami in the second canto, he does say this thing right there in the outset, right? Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham Navanam Ihalakshanam Varnayanti Mahatmanaha Shrutena Charthena Chanjasa. He says that actually 9 topics in Bhagavatam, they are discussed only to glorify the 10th topic, which is the Ashraya Tattva. So actually what we are studying from 10th canto, this is the substance of Bhagavatam. This is the purpose. This is where we want to reach by study of Bhagavatam. Not that the other topics are not important. That is not my point. My point is, all other those 10 topics, they are there to bring to the conclusion of 10th topic, which is the 10th canto. And those topics are only important because they all direct towards Ashraya Tattva, or they are sheltered in Ashraya Tattva. So, some other Puran also may describe planetary systems, like Bhagavatam is describing. But that will not conclude into Ashraya Tattva there, in that other Purana. Here, even the Sthanam, like 5th canto is discussing cosmology, it will finally lead to glorification of Krishna, that how he is the one who is the creator of maintainer of this material world, different planets. So that's the speciality. Dashamasya Vishuddhyartham, Vishuddhi, the 10th topic is differentiated by speaking about 9 topics. All 9 topics are there to serve the 10th topic, like that. So when we relish 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that is very appropriate. That's how it should be. That is the conclusion of Bhagavatam. So that's why these leelas are there for relishing, for, you know, learning lessons from them, asvadanam, in order to taste this leelas. We see Srimad Bhagavatam, practically, how many chapters are there in Srimad Bhagavatam? Total 335. Out of 335, 90 chapters in 10th canto only. That is like 28%. 28% of Bhagavatam is 10th canto. You can imagine. Just complete. 1/4 section is dedicated for one. And then, it's not that other cantos are not discussing Ashraya. They are also discussing Ashraya. Srila Jiva Goswami says in Tattva Sandarbha that all the 10 topics of Bhagavatam are discussed in all the 12 cantos. You may ascribe a particular topic to a particular canto, but actually all the topics are there. In first canto also you find Ashraya. Second canto discusses primarily creation, but then there is also Ashraya there. So it's like all these topics are scattered throughout the Bhagavatam. So exclusively 28% is on Ashraya, plus that Ashraya pervades and percolates all other cantos. That is Bhagavatam, like that. So this is like no other Puran, and no other Puran, even Vishnu Puran or like that, does not glorify Supreme Lord and pure devotional service in that manner. And that's why Bhagavatam is known as Pramanam Amalam. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Premam Pumarthomaha. This way. And in the 10th canto also, it's quite symmetric. You can see, there are 90 chapters. First 40 chapters, they discuss Vraja Leela. Middle 10 discuss Mathura Leela. And last 40 discuss Dwarka Leela. 40, 10, 40. That's how Bhagavatam 10th canto is also placed. You know, very beautiful symmetry is there within it. And last 40 chapters discuss Dwarka Leelas or Krishna being based in Dwarka and traveling to other places like Hastinapur or like that. First 40, very clearly they describe Vraja Leela. And middle 10, they describe the Mathura Leela. So 40, 10, 50. 40, 10, 40, like that. So in that, here we are on chapter 36, the slaying of Arishta, the bull demon. And especially this section is the one which is now going to act as a transition. Krishna transitioning from Vrindavan to Mathura. The arrangement so as to bring Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura is being spoken here by, you know, Kamsa. So what I'll do is I'll go over all these verses and we will discuss something on every verse. So first verse, Mahamatra Tvaya Bhadra Rangadvari Upaniyatam Dvipah Kuvalaya Pido Jahitena Mamahito. Kamsa said to his elephant keeper, Mahamatra, oh elephant keeper, what you should do? See, we want to invite Krishna and Balram here in Mathura. And the purpose was not to show them the, you know, beauty of Mathura. The purpose was to kill both of them. So he asked his elephant keeper that you keep this deadly elephant known as Kuvalaya Peeda on the entrance of the wrestling arena. See, he wanted to, Kamsa wanted to portray like there is a huge wrestling arena, beautiful match is there, wrestling match. And I am inviting the kids, you know, they can come and, you know, see, they can participate. There is also this Dhanur Yaga, there is also this sacrifice for the bow, that he had a huge bow. So he was portraying as if, you know, he wants to kill, he wants to kill Krishna Balaram, but he is portraying as if he is inviting them to participate in function and they can enjoy the festival and like that, and I will also enjoy, you know, by killing them. That was his plan. So he told his Mahout, and this Mahout, Mahamatra or elephant keeper, was his favorite one. I am speaking all this on the basis of Harivamsa, Garga Samhita, and Gopal Champu, as well as the commentaries. Whatever I am quoting here, it's from these references. So any of you want a reference of what I am speaking, I can give it from the commentaries. Okay, so this was one of the very favorite elephant keeper of this particular Kamsa. So that's why he told him that, I give you this task that you should keep that Kuvalaya Peeda at the entrance of wrestling arena and make sure as soon as Krishna Balaram come, you know, leave this elephant, drive this elephant on them and they should be smashed and finished. You know, that was his, you know, desire, like that. So he thought that, you know, before these verses also you must have heard that he thought, he invited also Chanur Mushtika and said that we will arrange wrestling arena. But then he thought that actually the way Krishna has killed other demons, he really developed a doubt whether Chanur Mushtik will be able to defeat. You know, I doubt, because big demons Krishna has killed, right? Arishtasur also. Actually, Arishtasur was killed, Srila Jiva Goswami says, by killing of Arishtasur, Kamsa got so depressed. When Arishtasur was killed, he got so depressed that 1 year he did not send any demon. He was like depressed. Arishtasur ko mar diya. This child is, certainly he is Vishnu, he is my Kala. So 1 year he took sannyas from this, you know, killing business, trying to kill Krishna business, like that. And then after that he sent the demon, Keshi, like that. So Srila Jiva Goswami says that there was a time period in between. He didn't send immediately, like that. So when he thought that these Chanur and Mushtik may be smashed by Krishna. So let me do the task through this Kuvalaya Peed only. So that's why let us keep this Kuvalaya Peed and let him crush Krishna Balram. You know, that was his plan. You know. So now this Kuvalaya Peed, this was a special elephant. Kuvalaya Peed, what's the meaning of this word? You know, Kuvalaya means entire earth globe. Kuvalaya. And Apida means one who can pick it up on his head. Kuvalaya Peed had such power that entire Prithvi Mandal, entire earth globe, he could pick on his head and throw it away. He was very powerful. He was not ordinary, elephant. He was very powerful. Or it is said another meaning of Kuvalaya Peed is Kuvalayam Apidayati. One who is Samyak, A means Samyak, one who is perfectly designed to trouble entire earth globe. He is designed for troubling the earth globe. That was Kuvalaya Peed. That is the meaning. That's how Srila Sanatana Goswami explains in his Brihad Vaishnava Toshane. Like that. So, when this Kuvalaya Peed was decided to be released on Krishna and Balaram, so this this elephant carrier, elephant keeper also became excited. And Harivamsa explains that this elephant keeper was a very confidential elephant keeper. Why? Kamsa, he told the story of his own birth to this elephant keeper, you know. Kamsa was son of Ugrasena? No, he was not son of Ugrasena. He was actually son of one demon named as Drumila. So this demon named as Drumila, he begot Kamsa in the womb of wife of Ugrasena, Padmavati. So the whole story was told by Narada to Kamsa. You know, Kamsa was like, one time Narad Muni came and Kamsa was talking about, see, my father Ugrasena. Again and again Narad, he's saying that to Narad Muni. Narad Muni said, Ugrasena is not your father. What? Talking all the time, Ugrasena, my father, he's not even your father. So what are you saying? Ugrasena is not my father. Yeah. So Narad Muni told the actual story that how Kamsa was born, you know. So one time Padmavati, queen of Ugrasena, she had gone to one place called Suyamuna Mountain. And she had gone there and she was seeing the beauty of the mountain along with her friends and all. And this demoniac person, this demon named Drumila came there. And this Drumila, he was also wandering in the same vicinity. When he came across from a distance, he saw Padmavati. So he was demoniac. He was very lusty demon. So he felt attracted to her very much. And he wanted to enjoy her. So then he had also some siddhis. He had some siddhis by which he could see beyond what is visible or beyond what is understood, known by the people. So he just sat in meditation and understood that this is the wife of Ugrasena. He didn't know that lady, Padmavati, but he understood by his meditation that she is actually wife of Ugrasena. So he was a very treacherous demon. He didn't go and ask her, but rather he took the form of Ugrasena. You know, taking the form of Ugrasena, then he had union with Padmavati. And then when Padmavati realized after that, she was like devastated, you know. She was a great chaste lady and she felt that such a great sin has occurred. And she was extremely devastated because this was a very treacherous demon. He was very wicked. So after that, Padmavati chastised him very much with very strong words. And he said, you know, who are you? Was such a wicked demon. You know, I am a chaste lady and how could you pollute, me like that? So she asked him, Kasyatvam, whose son are you? Who are you, fallen soul? You know, like that. She asked him. So that Drumila was so angry on her, saying that you are again and again asking me, Kasyatvam, you don't know my glory. Kasyatvam, your son will be named as Kamsa, you know, he said. And he will be the one who will torture the whole world, you know. Kamsa, actually, literally means one who gives distress to everyone. That's the meaning of Kamsa, right? Some of these demons are quite appropriate with their name, right? the meaning matches. In Sanskrit it is called as anvartha nama, anvartha, like somebody's name matches with his, you know, characteristics. Prabhupada would say, like somebody's name is Rajiva Lochana, the lotus-eyed one, and he is blind. So that is not anvartha nama. That's not the name and the qualities would match. So demons, we see that in the negative sense their qualities and names match. So Kamsa is like that, one who is extremely wicked and he gives distress to the whole world. So in this way Kamsa was born through Padmavati because of this Drumila demon, like that. So when Kamsa heard this, he was very much distressed, you know, and he said that this Narad Muni makes everyone's life miserable, you know, like that. He said, you know, so actually Kamsa is the one who is making everyone's life miserable, but he said, Narada is not leaving me also. He made my life miserable, like that. But then from that day, Kamsa became extremely inimical towards all the Yadavas, especially. Especially towards his father also, he became extremely inimical because he understood that I am not the son of my father, you know. So he said, declared on that day that I am not Yadava, I am Danava, you know, because I am the son of Drumila. Yadava means Yadu, but son of Ugrasen. But he says, I am Danava. So what I will do is, I will punish this Yadus, I will punish Ugrasena, in that manner, like that. So that was the reason also why Kamsa became all the more inimical towards the Yadus, apart from the initial, Akashvani that Devaki's eighth child would kill him and all that. So this way. So that was the special elephant, you know, elephant carrier or the elephant keeper, Mahut. So he was confiding him in all these things. So that's why when Krishna Balram, he wanted to kill them, he brought that same Mahut. He said, this is my trustworthy one, like that. And then Kuvalaya Peed was also a very special elephant. Where was Kuvalaya Peed from? Well, actually Kuvalaya Peed came from Jarasandha's army. This is from Garga Samhita. It explains that how Kamsa got Kuvalaya Peed. So actually Kuvalaya Peed was a huge elephant in Jarasandha's army. And when Jarasandha set out for Digvijay, he was once having his camp at the shores of Yamuna, at the banks of Yamuna. So his huge army was there. And along with the army, this special war elephant, known as Kuvalaya Peed, who had strength of 10,000 elephants, you know, that particular elephant. He was very fierce, very angry. Nobody could go near him like that. So when they were situated there on the bank of Yamuna, what happened was, Kuvalaya Peed, when he was tied with shackles, he broke the shackles and he ran just helter-skelter. He ran through the Mathura and the mountains, and he reached the place where Kamsa was doing wrestling, you know. See, Kamsa was very much fond of wrestling, kushti ladana. Like, right from childhood, he would take big, big wrestlers and smash them. Anybody he sees, he would say, kushti karega kya, you know. Hey, will you like to do wrestling, like that. That was his, very fierce he was. He loved the wrestling that way. So right from childhood, he was known as big wrestler. That. So when Kuvalaya Peed ran, he ran and he went to that assembly, Rangadwar, you can say wrestling arena, where Kamsa was fighting. So wrestlers, when they saw, just by seeing Kuvalaya Peed, they ran away. This is deadly elephant. Kamsa was not fearful of anyone. He also had the strength of 10,000 elephants, right? In fact. So then when this Kuvalaya Peed attacked, Kamsa lifted that Kuvalaya Peed by the trunk and he smashed him on the ground. You can see the power. He lifted the Kuvalaya Peed by the trunk, Shunda, and then he threw him on the ground like that. So Kuvalaya Peed was like shocked. First time he's seeing somebody's strength like that. Not only that, Kamsa picked him up, you know, and he like a ball he played with that. He had such power actually. Kamsa was extremely powerful. And he threw that Kuvalaya Peed back to the army of Jarasandha. which was at 8 yojan, it is said, 10 yojan actually. So it's like quite mild. So he threw the demon, not demon, but the elephant back on the army. And it fell on Jarasandha's army and crushed so many of their own soldiers like that. So Jarasandha became interested. Who has done this? Who is this person? And then he came to know this is none other than Kamsa, the prince at Mathura. So Jarasandha was very smart. He said, Digvijay, I have to conquer directions. So he said, he invited Kamsa and he said, I am getting my two daughters married to you. Asti and Prapti. These two daughters, Kamsa got them, Jarasandha got them married to Kamsa. Like that. And especially he gave him a lot of dowry, so that Kamsa is pacified. He remains the friend, right? And he gave very special item in the dowry. That was Kuvalaya Peed. The same elephant whom he had smashed and thrown away. So that's how the elephant was there with Kamsa, because he received as a dowry from this particular Jarasandha, like this. So in this way, we see that Kuvalaya Peed was arranged so that, Lord Krishna and Balaram, he wanted to smash them by that Kuvalaya Peed. So after that, he says to, he gives another instructions about Dhanuryaga. He says, Arabhyatam Dhanuryagas Chaturdashyam Yatha Vidhi Vishasantu Pashun Medhyan Bhutarajaya Midhushe. Commence the bow sacrifice on the Chaturdashi day in accordance with the relevant Vedic injunctions. In ritual slaughter, offer the appropriate kinds of animals to the magnanimous Lord Shiva. So he also arranged for the bow sacrifice. Why? What was the purpose? Srila Jiva Goswami mentions that he arranged for the bow sacrifice because he thought, just as I am trying all the laukika, all the conventional means to kill Krishna, I should also seek the blessings of the supreme, blessings of the devata. I should not just depend on the people whom I possess, like Kuvalaya Peed or Chanur Mushtik, but I should also seek the blessings of Lord in order to kill the Lord, like Krishna. So he said, see, I consider this Krishna is probably Amsha of Vishnu, so I cannot go to Vishnu to kill Vishnu. So I should go to Shiva. So he said, that's why I will do a yagya to please Lord Shiva. Like that. And this Dhanur Yaga is a special yaga, in which Lord Shiva's one particular form, Bhairava, very fierce form, is worshipped in the form of that bow, Dhanush. That's the way Lord Shiva's worship is done there. So Srila Vallabhacharya says that was his thing. He thought that only person who can match Lord Vishnu is Lord Shiva. So, I can't go to Indra, forget it. Indra, he only had defeated. But he can go to Lord Shiva. That's what he thought. So that's why he said, Bhuta. What is that? Yeah, Bhuta Rajaya. Yes, Bhuta Rajaya. Bhuta Raj, Bhairava. I will please Bhairava. And then he will bestow benediction on me, by which I can defeat Lord Vishnu. So that is his understanding. That is his philosophical understanding of Kamsa. Like that. See, this Dhanu, this bow also came to Kamsa, in an interesting manner, that Shiva Dhanusha, or the bow of Lord Shiva, he received it from Parshuram. This katha comes in Garga Samhita. When Kamsa himself went for Digvijay, conquering directions, he went to a place, Mahendra Parvat. And who resides in Mahendra Parvat? Parshuram resides there, So, people like demons, how they are, they. So he went there and lifted the Mahendra Parvat 100 times and kept it down, Just lifting, keeping it down. Lifting, keeping it down, like that. No good reason, right? He just wants to show the strength that way. So, it was happening like this, and Parshuram was in meditation, but he is seeing suddenly, the mountain is going in the air. Again, it is kept down, like that. So Parshuram got very wild, Parshuram, and Parshuram's anger, right? Parshuram is known for his anger. So Parshuram became extremely angry, and Parshuram said, you know, he saw who is that, and he saw that it is Kamsa. So Parshuram, Garga Samhita says that Parshuram called him, "Oh insect," you know. He called him, "Oh baby crab," you know, "Karkati dimba," "Oh mosquito," "Mashaka." So he gave three sambodhanas, he gave three addresses to Kamsa. He said, "You are an insect. You know, what are you doing here?" He said, "You are finished, you know, now. Why are you troubling me? I am doing here. See, I thought I finished all the Kshatriyas, you know, 21 times, right? He finished all the Kshatriyas. But looks like some demons like you are still there. So today you are finished. Today I am not going to leave you." Like this. So Kamsa, when he saw, actually he knew Mahendra Parshuram stays there, but then in his, you know, great fervor and enthusiasm to show the strength, you know, he sort of forgot that actually Parshuram is there. And when Parshuram appeared in front of him, then he realized, oh, he immediately fell at Parshuram's feet. He said, "You knew power of Parshuram," like that. He said, "See, I am servant." He said, "I am servant of your servant," you know, like that. Literally, it says, "Das tava dasasya dasosmiham," you know, like that it says there. So Parshuram said, you know, he was little pacified, and he said, "See, I am ready to leave you, but I have this Shiva Dhanush with me. This bow, this Dhanush, was given by Lord Vishnu to Shiva when the battle of Tripura took place, Tripurasura's killing. And then after Lord Shiva killed Tripura, then that bow was with him, and he gave me to finish off all the Kshatriyas." He gave that bow, Lord Shiva gave to whom? Parshuram, to kill all the Kshatriyas. That's how the bow was there with Parshuram, like that. So Parshuram said, "You know, you lift this bow and you put that bowstring, pratyancha. If you can do that, well. Otherwise," he said, "finished. You know, your game ends here if you are not able to do that. You think yourself very strong." So then Kamsa took his blessings and went there, and he lifted the bow. You know, he was very powerful. And he put that bowstring 100 times, you know. So then Parshuram said, "Okay, maybe he's not insect. Maybe he's a cockroach or something like that." Something like that. So he said, "Okay, fine." So he was okay. He was a little bit pacified and happy also. But he said, "Whoever will break this bow, he will be the reason of your death." You know, Parshuram said, "Whoever breaks this bow, he will be the cause of your death." So that's how Lord Shri Krishna, when he broke the bow, you know, he was the one who killed Kamsa, to keep the words of Parshuram also, like that. So that was the understanding to perform the Dhanur Yaga. He wanted to take help of Lord Shiva. Shri Jiva Goswami says that Lord Shiva is Bhuteshwar Mahadev, you know, Bhutaraj. He is the protector of Mathura, right? So Kamsa thought that, "Oh Bhuteshwar Mahadev, please help me to protect Mathura from Krishna." This was his meditation. You know, he is seeking the help of Bhuteshwar Mahadev, you know, Kshetrapal, Mathurapal, to save it from Krishna. So Mathurapal, Lord Shiva also was laughing on him. What is going on? You know, in this way. So the whole thing was, he was fearful also. Like that. Another thing, it is said there here that if you see Chaturdashyam, because this is the day that is very dear to Lord Shiva. It is Shiva Tithi, Chaturdashi. So he said that we should perform the sacrifice on that day so that Lord Shiva would be very much satisfied. This way. So after that he said, Ityadnyapyartha tantradnya ahuya yadupungavam grahitva panina panim tato kruram uvachah. Having thus commanded his ministers, Kamsa next called for Akrura, the most eminent of the Yadus. Kamsa knew the art of securing personal advantage, and thus he took Akrura's hand in his own and spoke to him as follows. So in this way, Kamsa now then decided to send Akrura to bring Krishna and Balaram to Mathura. So the word used for him is Artha Tantradnya. Artha Tantradnya. One who was very expert in Artha. in securing one's purpose. But Srila Jiva Goswami says this also means that out of dharma, artha, kama, moksha and prema, he knew only artha and nothing else. He didn't have any knowledge of dharma. Artha and kama go together, so that is fine. He didn't know anything about moksha and forget prema. You know, that is like pancham purushartha. So he says that artha tantradnya shows, that word shows that he knew only about artha, you know, nothing else. How can I have prosperity and thereby how can I enjoy the senses? That's why artha tantradnya. And the, of course, another meaning is that he was expert at his securing his personal benefit. So that's why what he did is he called up Akrura, held his hand. It was like a great gesture of affection. And then he spoke these things to Akrura. Like that. So what did he say? Text 28. Bho bho danapate mahyam kriyatam maitramadritah nanyastvatto hitatamo vidyate bhoja vrishnishu. My dear Akrura, most charitable one, please do me a friendly favor out of respect. Among the bhojas and vrishnis, there is no one else as kind as you. Bho bho danapate. He called Akrura as danapati, the master of charitable persons, or the best of charitable persons. Danapate, most magnanimous. Because it is said that for 12 years, Akrura did continuously every day many, many godan. Akrura was known for charity. For 12 years continue, on every single day, he gave charities, cows in charity. Also, his mother was well known for being charitable, Gandini, Akrura's mother. So that's why he called him as Danapate. So he said, you are very well known for doing dana, for charity. Give me this charity of Krishna Balram. You know, bring them here. This is the charity that you are very well known for charity. So your name will be true if you give me the charity of Krishna Balram. Because you are the one who can bring them. No one else. You are very expert. You are very, you are also very beloved of Krishna Balaram and all the Brajavasis. So you should go and bring them. Like that. So that was the purpose because of which he spoke so fondly. Atastvam ashritta saumya karya gaurava sadhanam yathendro vishnum ashritya swartha madhya gamadvibhu. Gentle Akrura, you always carry out your duties soberly. And therefore I am depending on you, just as powerful Indra took shelter of Lord Vishnu to achieve his goals. Like that. So, he is saying that just as powerful Indra took the help of Upendra, you know. So actually, Sanatana Goswami explains the import, or rather the mentality of Kamsa. He said that actually Upendra, Vamana was a younger child and Indra is elder, right? That's why Vamana is known as Upendra. So actually he says Indra was more powerful. See, Indra had greater potential, Indra was more powerful, but still he took this help of Vamana. You know, because naturally he's Vishnu Dvesh, you know. So his attitude was that actually Indra is more powerful. You know, but still he took help of Vamana, because that was the situation that time. Sometimes situation, you understand. Even powerful people have to take help of small people. So similarly, he said that actually I am powerful, why should I take your help? But it's okay. Now sometimes the need is there. I can do this, you know, I myself can go. But actually in Kamsa's heart there was a fear that if I, you know, so many demons have got killed, at least I should have advantage of my own pitch, you know. I should not go there and be in Krishna's land. He may easily defeat me. So I will get him in on my land, you know, here in Mathura. That was his mentality, like that. And because of that, he wanted Krishna to be brought over here. So literally when he is calling Indra as Vibhu in the verse, that means that actually he considers Indra as more powerful than Vishnu. That is the explanation of Srila Sanatana Goswami. He hates Vishnu. He thinks Vishnu is inferior to Indra also. That's why he is speaking in that particular manner. And then the final verse is today's. Please go to Nanda's village where the two sons of Anagdundubi are living, and without delay bring them here on this chariot. So please go to Vraja from Mathura, and for this I give you this brand new ratha, a chariot. Just like sometimes, you know, you want to send somebody out for whatever, some particular seva, you can, you know, give, see Prabhu, the new car, you know, please take it, you know, go fundraising, huh? The brand new car is there. So person is very enthusiastic, yes, yes, I'll go like that. So here he thought that by giving the new ratha, it was a brand new ratha that he got. Shrijiva Goswami says it was just manufactured the day before, ready, like that. These are all the comments, they are there in the commentary, like that. So it was ready, made ready, and with that, you know, he gave this chariot and he said that you can please bring Shri Krishna Balaram on this chariot. He thought that, just as here the disciples of Prabhupada mentioned that Kamsa thought Akrura was innocent, so he would be excited to go on that chariot. So Sanatana Goswami says Kamsa also thought that the boys will be excited by seeing the new chariot, you know. He thought that Krishna and Balaram will be very impressed. Oh, new chariot. Oh, we want to go on new chariot. Like that he is thinking. Actually, what is new chariot for Krishna Balaram? Right? They are the masters of the whole world. But that was Kamsa's thinking. He thought that they are kids, they are children. So they will be very much excited. New chariot, new place. Let's go and, you know, have some fun like that. So that's how he thought that I will get them certainly here. And with that attitude, you know, with that thing in mind, Vishwa Chakravarti says he pointed towards the ratha with the index finger and said, please take this, like that. But the real reason was, it was an arrangement of the Lord to enter Mathura. Lord arranged through his Leela Shakti that here was arrangement. Krishna is coming to Mathura by the expenses of Kamsa. Right? He is arranging his Leela in such a way that Kamsa is arranging everything. He sent the chariot. He sent the charioteer. So come on. I have a chauffeur driven car by which I am taken to the place. Like that. That was the, you know, arrangement of Krishna's Leela Shakti. That way. And also, as Vishwan Chakruti explains that, yes, the point is that Krishna, how can he be there on that chariot which is enjoyed by Kamsa? You know, no. So Krishna had the fresh new chariot driven by his devotee, Akrura. And that is where Krishna will go. Krishna Balaram will go to Mathura. So that's Akrura actually here, who is serving in that very very difficult kind of circumstances. So although Akrura was there in Mathura, and he was very obedient to Kamsa, but within his heart he always cherished and loved, you know, Krishna. And he was just waiting for Krishna's pastimes to happen, you know. When Kamsa initially punished all the demon, all the Yadus, many Yadus left the region and they settled, you know, many distant places like Magadha and, you know, very far, all the way up to Gujarat, they settled Yadus. But Akrura didn't go, you know, it is said. Why? Because Akrura was extremely eager to witness Krishna's pastimes in Mathura, and he wanted to see how he will end, you know, Kamsa and all his beautiful pastimes within Mathura. So that was it. Although he was an obedient servant of Kamsa, but within his heart, he is actually 100% devotee of Krishna. That way. So sometimes in life, we may also be in very difficult circumstances where we may have to be with non-devotees. But actually, our heart should be given to Krishna. If situation demands that we are in the association of non-devotees for work or for service, whatever. But within the heart, we cherish Krishna consciousness, just as, you know, Akrura is also here showing that example. So even if the whole world may misunderstand you, Krishna will not, you know. He will always know the heart and the quality of the heart like that. So anyway, there are many further things as aspects of this pastime. But I think we can stop here. It's already the time. So we can stop here. Is there any quick question or comment, Prabhu? Then we can end. Yeah.
My question, as we heard from the Puranas, Kamsa in his previous life by Jatayu,
yeah,
Vishnu.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's mentioned that Bhaktiram Sidhu also mentioned, but I cannot understand properly. So, can you give some reference if some demons get by Lord Vishnu? How is it he can come again as a demon?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Okay. So, what happens to demons which are killed by Vishnu? There is analysis of this in Sandarbhas as well as by Srila Rupa Goswami. He also does this analysis. So, Lord Vishnu, when he kills the demons, so usually what happens is those demons are purified. They get purified and then they take another birth in which they can practice spiritual life, they can practice bhakti and they can go back, like that. Usually this aspect of hatari gati dayaka, killing somebody and giving him liberation, this is a characteristic of Krishna. He does that. So what happened in case of Kalanemi was, although Lord Vishnu killed him, you know, he was killed by Lord Vishnu in the battle at churning of ocean. But then Kalanemi had a role to play within the pastime of Krishna, you know, because why? Kalanemi was also supposed to come back later as Kamsa, and those sons of Hiranyaksha were Hiranyaksha's son, meaning Kalanemi's sons, they were supposed to come as Devaki's Garbha. So Kalanemi was revived by Shukracharya, although he was killed. Garga Samhita says this, that he was revived by Shukracharya, Kalanemi. Because, yes, he was going to play further part in Lord's Leela. So then Kalanemi, after he was revived, he performed great penance. And he pleased Brahma. And he said that, please give me a benediction that I will not be defeated by any of the devatas headed by Vishnu. You know, because that was his understanding, that Vishnu is also another devata. So when he asked the benediction to Brahma, that please give me a benediction that I won't be killed by any devata headed by Vishnu, like that. So he received a benediction that he won't be killed by any devata. But Vishnu is not a devata, right? You know, Vishnu is Supreme Lord himself. So in next life, that Kalanemi, that benediction took place, and he came as a Kamsa, you know, so that then Krishna, you know, continues with his pastime, like that. So what happens with those demons which are killed by Lord, Vishnu? Well, they can have different destinations. Usually whenever we speak about demons killed, we will talk about Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, which are like special cases, Jai Vijay, right? But Srila Jiva Goswami does mention the point that when the demons are killed by Vishnu, usually they are purified and then they take birth in which then they can practice bhakti and they can achieve the destination. With Krishna, just by killing, he can send them back home, back to Godhead. This is the point. So, about Kalanemi, it's a very peculiar case because he was supposed to be playing that role in the pastime of the Lord. So, Kalanemi is coming as, again, Kamsa, that's why, later.
Do you have any reference, any evidence of any demon who killed by Lord Vishnu and who got liberation? Any case?
No, I don't have a reference. Somebody killed by Lord Vishnu and getting reference, getting liberation, you know. So, personally, in my reading, I have not come across. There may be, but I have not come across. But the quality of Krishna is glorified by Rupa Goswami, that this is prerogative. He works like that. That when he kills a demon, then he sends them, he can give them, like Kamsa getting Sayujya, or Agasur getting Salokya, Putana getting spiritual world. This is typically Krishna. This is not how Lord Vishnu works. This Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami, both of them say very clearly. This much reference is there, very clear. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, so exactly, I got your question. So actually here, Prabhu, both the versions are seen. When Akrura came, So Akrura is taking Kamsa back and the killing, taking Krishna back, sorry, Krishna and Balram. And the killing is going to happen, like today Akrura leaves, so day after tomorrow is what the killing going to happen, you know, killing of Kamsa. So Akrura leaves for Vrindavan today, he reaches today evening, next day he takes Krishna Balaram, and day after tomorrow, you know, Krishna kills the Kamsa. So this is one way the timeline is given in the Shastra. But Srila Jiva Goswami says that you can see these pastimes also happen in two different ways. He says that sometimes we see in the pastime that after Arishtasur, you know, Keshi has been sent only after a year. So sometimes you may see Kalpantar also, Vyavastha, you know. Different Kalpas, the pastime may happen in different ways. Yeah. So, but as far as this timeline is there, it is confirmed. Yeah. Akrura comes and then just in 2 days, Krishna comes to kill Kamsa. Like that. That is how it's mentioned. Should we stop here? Okay. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you.